Radio Network. I feel the same way. But nonetheless, good Monday morning to you. All Marine Radio back on the job. Exactly. So, welcome. Hope you had a good weekend. Mine was good. Actually, I didn't do a whole lot. Kind of a expeditionary recovery operations. That's right. Hung out, caught up on some work. Straightened some stuff out, did some cleaning. Yeah, you're gone for 10 days and your kids destroy your home. So I had that going for me. And then they all left, right? Oh, he's coming back. Let's get out of here. So he doesn't put his foot up our ass for not cleaning. So, anyway, I gave you some advice a while ago, and I want to talk about that advice. And that is, and the more I watch and the more I practice it, I think the more sound the advice is. And that is the advice concerning where you get your news and how you consume news and all that stuff. I would tell you that the more you're able to shut off the 24-hour news cycle, the better your life will be. Yeah, and I relay that to you from my own experience in my own life. In that I stopped watching the news so much, and I just don't do this stupid event. and I'll use the weekend as an example, right? So you have a handful of idiots that are gathering in Washington, D.C. for their, what do they call it, Unite the Right rally? I mean, I don't know another way to say it, but they're idiots, right? They're the dropped-on-your-head-at-birth crew. Yeah, sorry, but that's the way, that's the way it is. And so why is anybody paying attention to them? Oh, I know the answer to that. The answer to that is because it's fodder for the slipped-up version of Jerry Springer that occupies our national media. Oh, they'll love this. They'll eat this up. And so if you just say no, if you just don't go there, and you're very discriminating about what quote-unquote news is, okay? If you're very discriminating about that, I think the quality of your life goes up. I know mine has. I adjusted the squelch on that part of my life. And so I pay attention to the things that break through squelch, and I don't pay attention to the things that don't. And I think as a result, my life's gotten better. I mean, look, if you look at the Unite the Right, and this is the kind of stuff that the Russians seek to exploit, right? Right? Don't assault capitalism from without. Assault it from within. Use its own diversity. Use its own institutions against it to foment the discord. And so, anyway, So that whole Unite the Right event to me is just craziness. And you watch the media fawn over it, you know, here's the alt-right people, you know, with the wackadoodles showing up, and then here's everybody that's protesting against it. And they're just whipped into a frenzy over this small group of idiots. And you sit there and you look like, well, how does this happen? Like, what gives birth to this? And you shake your head like, you know, like this is craziness. So, and then I saw a headline that said that, 30% of Americans think that race relations are worse. Let me just tell you, the people that think that are young. And now that I'm old, max 60 is the new 30. It's really not, okay? Ask anybody that's 30. They'll tell you that, yeah, I am not the co-equal of a 60-year-old. Thank you. But anyway, just a thought there. I don't want to burst any bubbles out there, but yeah, if you're old enough to remember, if you're old enough to remember, it was not a good deal when racism was just the way of this nation. So I think that if you do recall, we elected a black man to be president of the country twice. Okay? Now I think that says something. I'm not saying it says everything. Doesn't get you off the hook for everything, but I think that does merit at least a little bit of scrutiny. Okay. The other interesting, and this whole issue of race in the country, which I don't think is the major issue in the country. I'm going to lay that one out for you in a second. The rise of multiracial and multi-ethnic babies in the United States. This is a Pew Research Center, so it's not some dumbass MSNBC, Fox News, CNN article, okay? Pew Research, reputable statistical analysis people that do polling and things like that. 1 in 7 U.S. infants, 14%, were multiracial or multi-ethnic in 2015, okay? So what is that? That is nearly triple what it was in 1980. Okay, so if we're that racist, there's too many people that are not getting the memo, okay? And this, for those of you who responded to, yes, race relations are getting worse, let me just read this next sentence. This increase comes nearly a half century of the landmark Supreme Court case, Loving versus Virginia, legalizing interracial marriage. What? A half century. So what would a half century be? 1970? Okay, so for those of you whose jaw just hit the floor, there was a day in this country when it was illegal in some states to marry interracially. Yeah, I know you're going to find that. I know you're going to find that crazy, okay? It was decided in 1967. It was a unanimous decision. Don't see that very often. 9-0. Loving versus Virginia is a landmark civil rights decision of the United States Supreme Court, which struck down all state laws banning interracial marriage. Yeah, so if you think race relations are worse, you need to go to school. See, it's another sign of our flawed school system. Yeah, it's flawed. I won't say it sucks, but I'll tell you that it ain't all that. And this is just one more example of the school system not doing its job. What matters is what I read on Facebook this afternoon, not the truth. The truth? Yeah, I'm kind of interested in, speaking of the truth, I'm kind of interested in soft rep becoming news rep. And here's why I'm interested in it. That's my idea, that the truth doesn't have any allegiance and it knows no place. It simply is the truth. And it ought to be discovered and it ought to be reported. The truth. Okay. And they made kind of statements to that end. So, I think we struggle for a media that looks for the truth. I think we have a media that is its own media event. So anyway, listen to this. The case was brought by Mildred Loving, maiden name Jeter, a woman of color, and Richard Loving, a white man who had been sentenced to a year in prison in Virginia for marrying each other. That's right. So you have a white man marrying a black woman. Their marriage violated the state's anti-miscegenation statute of the Racial Integrity Act of 1924. The what? That's right. The Racial Integrity Act. Let me get my secret decoder ring out and let me find out what the Racial Integrity Act. Listen to this. On March 20th, 1924, the Virginia General Assembly passed two laws that had arisen out of contemporary concerns about eugenics and race. SB 219, entitled the Racial Integrity Act, and SB 2081, an act to provide for the sexual sterilization of inmates of state institutions in certain cases. Okay, so when we talk about race, seriously, read this stuff? And you're going to tell me that we've gone backwards relative to race? Please. The Racial Integrity Act required that a racial description of every person be recorded at birth and divided society into two classifications, whites and colored. Essentially all other, which included numerous American Indians. It defined race by the one-drop rule defining as colored persons with any African or Native American ancestry. It also expanded the scope of Virginia's ban on interracial marriage by criminalizing all marriages between white persons and non-white persons. In 1967, the law was overturned by the United States Supreme Court in its ruling on Loving versus Virginia. The Sterilization Act provided for compulsory sterilization of persons deemed to be feeble-minded, including the insane, idiotic, imbecile, and epileptic. Sheesh, that's rough, right? A That is rough. So, so I kind of chuckle when I see those headlines. In that, Facebook must not have put out any kind of historical context relative to this news story when it flashed all over the country. And again, it's just like it's like stupid people doing stupid things. And so then you read about race in the United States, and it's ridiculous. Okay, so why all the discord? Why all the discord? Kind of interesting. There is something called Loving Day. And that is, I believe, the anniversary of the overturning. Loving Day is an annual celebration held on June 12th, the anniversary of the 1967 U.S. Supreme Court decision, which struck down all marriage laws regarding race in 16 U.S. states that had them. Loving Day is not an officially recognized holiday by the U.S. government, despite attempts to make it so. Loving Day is the biggest multiracial celebration in the United States. So, a little interesting sidebar to that. He was a construction worker. His name is Richard Perry Loving. Died in 1975. And so he's just a normal dude living in Virginia. Lived in Caroline County. Anyway, he was sentenced to jail for a year. We don't do that anymore. Okay? We don't do that anymore. But again, back to the Pew study. Let's see. In 1980, multiracial and multi-ethnic babies, 5%. In the year 2000, 20%. In the year 2015, so that's 20 years, it doubles. And then in 2015, it adds another, so in 5 years, it adds another 4%. So you would think that it would double again by 2020. So it seems to double every 20 years. Okay, so at that rate, yeah, I'm not sure if people understand what they're saying. So anyway, now let me tell you what I believe the issue to be. Okay, what I believe the issue to be in the United States is the disappearing nature of the middle class, and the middle class was a link between, you know, getting out of poverty, and the middle class enabled you to reach towards being upper middle class, and maybe your kids could be upper class, whatever the hell that is. They could have a lot of money. So, which is how I would define it. So anyway, the jobs that supported the middle class seem to be going away. So if that's the case, then I think you see all this strain that gets put on a system that doesn't accommodate us anymore. Mac, uncharacteristically deep for a Monday morning. Yeah, no kidding. No, you know, I pay attention. I enjoy the intellectual kind of back and forth in these kind of discussions. And so look, if you want to show me the idiots around the country that I just drove around again and tell me that this country is a racist country, to me, you're full of shit. You're watching the nightly news too much. Are there idiots amongst us? Of course. Of course there is. But the rate of multiracial children in this country is tripling doubling every 20 years. Okay? So if we vote with our marriage license, or we vote with who we date, the statistics would say it ain't that way. It is not that way. So, again, I look at what I see around the nation, and again, nobody's saying that this stuff doesn't exist. But if you do take a look at it and you do scrutinize it, right? You have, if you look at legislatures and the composition of those legislatures around the nation, they are every year more and more diverse. They are ethnically more diverse. They are socially more diverse in terms of how people identify sexually and whatnot. So, again, I look at this, and then just your own personal experience. Are there idiots? Yes, no doubt. And there always will be. Make no mistake about that either. Only the dead have seen the end of stupidity. There you go. To quote, see, that's the Gunner's argument for extinction. Can't wait till we're extinct. All this stupidity goes away. So anyway, a thought from this whole stupid, and you know what, the only people who benefit from that stupidity of the alt-right event are the goofballs that are running websites that are looking for donations to support their craziness. And our national media, you know, gives them what they could never, ever, ever do on their own. Our national media just bombs it, just bombs it in for them. Hey, thanks, bud. All you got to do is come on TV and act crazy, okay? And then we'll run with it. Oh, hey, no problem, man. I got crazy for you. I can do crazy all day. And then you get the straight up wackadoodle guys who go on TV, and what do? They try to kind of intellectually defend racism, and they start quoting stuff, and you're sitting there just watching it. And honestly, is this Jerry Springer? What did I turn on? I thought I was watching the news. And again, it is straight up Jerry Springer stuff. So anyway, just some thoughts on that. But again, it's interesting that even the Brookings Institute is starting to look at the vanishing American middle class and what that means to the nation. So that is news. The other story I wanted to talk about at the top of the program, that's what this is called. This is called the top of the program. So the other story that I wanted to talk about is there was a story in the Marine Corps Times that I saw. That story quoted a New York Times story. And it has to do with the with first female infantry officer in the Marine Corps. So let's see. Let me find the article. Now, let me just tell you, I'll read you the headline, and then I'll give you some thoughts on it. All right, here's the headline. The Marines didn't think women belonged in the infantry. She's proving them wrong. In the New York Times, written by a former Marine, okay, by Thomas Gibbons Neff, who was at the Washington Post. Do you remember him? He's officially on the blacklist of All Marine Radio. Why? He's the douchebag that reported that an F-18 on a gun run at night in 29 Palms broke up before hitting the ground. He reported that. Now, did he? I don't rightly recall if he reported it or blogged it. Is there a difference? If a reporter blogs something, are they held to a different journalistic standard? And so the blog simply becomes a way that they can get information out that hasn't been validated? That's interesting. Anyway, so I was talking to a friend of mine who was involved in briefing the families involved in all of that. And that article caused a lot of consternation with those families. And he was straight up wrong. He was straight up wrong. But again, this unholy dance that we do with our media. Okay, so let me just explain. So just a little background on Tom Neff. Okay. So he embeds himself with a battalion. Okay? 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines. Why did he do that? I'll tell you why he did it. He did it to write this story because she, until this story, her name had never been publicized. Why? Because she didn't want it publicized. So I would tell you that the real story in all of this is that First Lieutenant Marina Hearl, I'm not sure how you pronounce her name, H-I-E-R-L, the real story in all of this is the professionalism of Marina Hearl. That she didn't graduate from IOC and run up the Beltway and go into CNN studio and sit down and talk about what she was doing and cash in on it. So you have a reporter, former Marine, who embeds himself with 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines looking for what story? Looking for her story. Hadn't been able to get it before that. Okay? And even in the article that's about her, she is sparingly quoted. So if you go look at the article, it's a long article. Talks about she's leading a platoon of 35 Marines. Okay. So you scan the article and you're looking for her quotes. And here they are. She's 24 years old. She grew up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Worked on a horse farm in high school. Then she went to USC. She chose the Marines because after meeting with a recruiter, she thought that it sounded good. That's a quote. Now, I just want you to pay attention to how few quotes are in here relative to her. And then I want to talk about her. Quote, I wanted to do something important with my life, she said. I wanted to be part of a group that would be willing to die for each other. Her recruiter advised her to go to college first. She goes on, I wanted to lead a platoon. I didn't think there was anything better in the Marine Corps that I could do. So, the story goes on. Lieutenant Hearl has avoided publicity and is reluctant to talk about herself. Right? And the only thing she's done by doing that was made people look at her as a professional, which she clearly is. I know people that have evaluated 2-4, and they said she's good at what she does. The training mission in Australia, observed by the New York Times, was the first time that a journalist has embedded with a Marine infantry unit led by a woman. Okay? And let me tell you, the New York Times did not send a reporter to Australia to embed with a quote-unquote unit. This was the story they were looking for. She repeatedly sidestepped interviews and spoke sparingly for this article, insisting that she instead needed to focus on her job and on the Marines under her command. Let me just tell you how, in my opinion, you know, how well that speaks of her. Right? She's a lieutenant with a bunch of other lieutenants. Nobody's coming to have her around the world to see them. That's the world she lives in. Is she going to be ostracized if she's seen on the picture of the New York, on the cover of the New York Times? What will her Marines think of her? if she doesn't conduct herself in anything but the most ethical and professional manner. I mean, I'm sure she's been the subject of a lot of blowback without any of this. Now, this is not a quote. This is Neff. This is Tom Neff. But she did say that she wants to be seen by the Marines and her platoon as a leader, not as a trailblazer because of her gender. I mean, that's good shit. So you go through the article and you're looking for her quotes. And they're not there. They're not there. And so to me, the real story, right? And the real story of the first infantry officer in the Marine Corps is the professionalism with which she's approached her craft. Right? So I just want to say, for somebody who's under an incredible amount of scrutiny, my compliments to Lieutenant Hurl. She has conducted herself as you would hope somebody would conduct herself as a professional, and she goes to work every day, and it seems like, based on her scorn of the media, based on her avoidance of the media, all she wants to do is do her job. And that reflects incredibly well upon her. You know, to the point where the New York Times goes halfway around the world and she doesn't talk to him. Only briefly. You heard the quotes. That's all the quotes in a long, long New York Times article. So, again, I just want to say I took a look at that. And because she has been interesting in that she has turned her back on all the media attention she could get. And she's simply done her job. So, you know, I would love to meet her and have a conversation with her. And whether it's on the air or off the air, it would be irrelevant to me. But she is extremely, she has won, in my opinion, a lot of respect from a lot of people who have watched her very closely as the Marine Corps has gone down this road. Now, you know, I quarrel with the headline too. The Marines didn't think women belonged in the infantry. She's proving them wrong. The Marine Corps Ground Combat Integration Study came to certain conclusions based on the data. Okay, we all know what happened to the study. The Secretary of the Navy, Ray Mabus, one of the great political hacks of all time, that guy, he assassinated the report before it got published, because that's what politicians do. But what it said is there are physical limitations that are going to certainly impact this, and things that the Marine Corps should expect. One of the conclusions of the report is that the top women were equal to or below the bottom 5% of males. Is that the road that you want to go down? And the Marine Corps pushed back on that. Now, is that wrong? Well, certainly if your agenda is integration, it is wrong. It's her right to do this. Okay? And then what you saw was the Marine Corps and the other services go down the standards route. Okay, these are the standards. Okay, but in terms of, is that the number that you want to be expanding? Below 5%? I think institutionally, you have a duty to say no. We don't think this is in our best interest. You know, what happens if it was, instead of women, take another group. What happens if it was, I don't know, midgets is coming into my head. What happens if it's small people that say, yeah, your height requirement is garbage. We should be allowed to serve. Your minimum height requirement, okay, well, and then we do a study and we find, look, if we allow people that are that small, here's what we see. Do we want to be expanding that in our combat arms? So, again, if you take the gender and the hysteria away from it, and you say, okay, is this going to be a bad thing, good or bad thing for us? Without the standards, it's going to be a bad thing. With the standards, which came post-decision relative to gender integration of combat arms, without the standards, then I think you do have an issue. After the standards, it's, look, male or female, live up to the standards. If you can do it, you can do it. Okay, but I would say this. The exception does not disprove the rule. Does not disprove the rule. So rules tend to be there for good reason. Are there exceptions to them? Yeah, absolutely there is. There's absolutely exceptions to rules. Does the exception disprove the rule? It absolutely does not. So, you know, there will be women that become infantrymen, but will there ever be a lot? I don't think so. First of all, it's miserable. Second of all, it's tough on their body, right? And just by gender, they're not physically, they have some issues relative to loads and joint issues and bone density that make them non-good pack mules. Yeah, and you got to be part pack mule. So anyway, just those thoughts rolling in my head. United States Marine Corps band makes it official here, and then we'll check some new. There's a whole series of interesting news headlines. So, United States Marine Corps band makes it official. The morning kicking off. Very good morning to you. This is dedicated to, you know what? She didn't want to be singled out, right? So this is dedicated, so I won't. But this is dedicated to the professionalism of young officers in the Marine Corps. We don't talk about that very much, but this is dedicated to them.
Our flag is on. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You gotta win.
Motivates me. We gotta win. All right, we'll check the weather. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Monday edition of All Marine Radio. Yeah. The nation's more racist. Hey, Mac, 50 is the new 48, and I feel fabulous. Be well. You hear that crap all the time. Yeah, 50 is the new 30. 60 is the new 40. Who says that? People that are 50? Yeah. I'm sorry, it ain't that way. If you're 50, guess what? You're 50. Here's another email. You know, just when I think you're a dumbass, I had some similar thoughts over the weekend, and I think you did a pretty good job with it. The nation that I live in, I see people at my church of different color, of different ethnic mix, and I see that number growing all the time. I see people in my neighborhood, which is racially diverse. I see people at my kid's school, which is racially diverse. Much more so than when I was a kid, and I would tell you that I'm a middle-class wage earner. So, like, my thought over the weekend was, where is this coming from? Where does this exist? That's a good question. I think your point about the middle class is well taken. Interesting. Thanks for making me think. I didn't think you had it in you. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's up with that? I didn't think you had it in you? All right. If you want to play it like that. I can't believe I read that crap. All right. The weather. Partly cloudy and 79 in Quantico. Partly cloudy, 79 at Camp Lejeune. I get into that. You know what? It's kind of interesting. So we're talking, when I was back in Quantico, my daughter-in-law, Susie, I said Lejeune, and she looks at me. She says, now, Susie grew up in Western North Dakota, right? She's now been a Marine wife how many years? Four or five? They got married. Holy smokes. Right? I think going on 5 years. So anyway, so she's been a Marine wife. So she says, is there really an R in that word? And I went, no, there's not. I said, but that's how the family pronounce it. And she said, really? And I said, yeah. I said, hold on. So I pull up the video of Dolly Lejeune, where the guy says, do you know you mispronounce your name? And my daughter-in-law looks at me and she says, good enough for me. Right? As opposed to the gunner who said, that's not how anybody pronounces it. Like, okay, I can't help it if everybody's stupid. Okay? If that's how he pronounced it, then isn't that what counts if it's his name we're talking about? No! I'm like, I think Mike Gunner was trying to win a stupid prize when we were having that discussion. Okay? Yeah. It's not McNamara, it's McNamara. And I don't care how many people say McNamara, that's not my name. My name is McNamara. You don't like, and if you name something after me, you better call it McNamara, not McNamara. All right. So anyway, yeah, I had that conversation in Quantico. Cloudy in 78 in Granbury, Texas. So cooled off there by about 10 degrees. Big Timber, Montana, partly sunny and 61 right now. 29 Palms, sun and 82. Camp Pendleton, below 70. That's a good sign for the West Coast. Sun and 67. Those fires exist on the backside of Camp Pendleton, kind of northeast of the backside of Camp Pendleton. In Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 82 with 4 weather warnings in Okinawa. So, because of my fascination, stand by. There's a storm surge advisory, so if you're a scuba diver, don't go in the water. And shortly, I will, after my computer catches up with the... Okay, a high wave advisory, a thunderstorm advisory, and a gale advisory. Okay, so advisory means possible. Okay, and they will be in effect until Tuesday at 6 p.m. Japanese Central, or Japanese Standard Time, JST. I think that's what that stands for. All right, so anyway, just in case you were wondering what those... what those weather warnings in Okinawa were. It's cooled off in Marja. It's clear dark already and 101 degrees in Marja and at the home of All Marine Radio. Beautiful Costa Mesa, California. In the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, it is 71 degrees right now under fair skies. I don't know what fair means. A little bit of like morning overcast. Is that fair? I don't know. Somebody should define all this stuff. Humidity is at 80%. Winds are out of the south-southeast at 1 mile an hour. We are looking for a high today of 82 degrees. We'll take it. On Tuesday, 82 and sunny. And on Wednesday, 82 and sunny. So good, 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 and good. All right, we're going to take a break. Oh, shit. News. I ran my suck too long today. News. Yeah, so even Marine Corps Times, their headline, and so they yanked their quotes out of the Washington Times story, okay? Their quotes are as follows. Meet the first female graduate to graduate IOC and lead an infantry platoon. And the only thing they have is her name and 2 one-sentence quotes. That's it. So I just want to say I'm impressed. All right? I'm impressed. Email. I missed the first 14 minutes. Did you cover Omarosa's secret recording of General Kelly firing her in the Situation Room? You know what? Again, the shit show. First of all, I'm not sure... that she had any place in government, okay? And this is just my observations on the few times that I've seen her in public. I think it was an economic opportunity for her, not a service opportunity for her. And now the president will pay the price for including her. And so I read the headlines. I mean, look, she's a fool, in my opinion. And I don't, so whatever comes out of her mouth, she is an opportunist looking to make money. The fact that she would have a recording device in the Situation Room, in my opinion, I mean, don't you sign service agreements and understanding? Can you be prosecuted for doing stuff like that? And if you can be, I hope they do. Oh, the rules, pfft, whatever. Yeah, whatever. So, you know, again, it doesn't interest me in the least. She will get her 15 minutes of fame, and then she will be a very infrequently used footnote on somebody's history report. So I have not really looked into it. In my opinion, she's what's wrong with this country. Okay, not people that go there to serve. It's an entertainment opportunity, and which she got exactly what she wants, right? She got exactly what she wants, and now this is the big splash for her book. The next thing is taunt the president, have him blow you up in Twitter, and go make millions of dollars. That's what public service is about, right? Yeah. For those of us who have fought, that's why we go fight, yes? So that idiots like her can go make a few million dollars writing a bullshit book that she certainly didn't write about the gossip of the West Wing. Come on. So no, I just look at it and I roll my eyes. Interesting. I heard, and this is for non-attribution. Okay, I heard from sources that I know that all these stories that have come out saying that General Kelly is on the way out are planted by staffers who don't like him. The truth is that he runs that show. That's the truth. And that's why the president wants him to stay through at least 2020. That John Kelly has gone in there and brought order, and those staffers hate it. They like the world where they could just, can you imagine where you could walk into the office of the president of the United States? That's how loose his day is and unfocused. What a shit show. Anyway, that's why you see those stories, right? A friend of mine, former Marine, right? Every time one of those stories would come out, he'd text me, Kelly, you must hate that shit. I said, I don't know. If you listen to his interviews, right? What does he say in his interviews? This is the most important job I've ever had, and I'm not going anywhere. But yet they persist. Where do they come from? Good question, right? President barely talks to him. He's marginalized. He's leaving. And then what's Trump on his anniversary, right? Says, hey, he's going to be here till 2020 and blah, 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 blah. So interesting. So my source, right, my source told me, yeah, that's where that's coming from. Because I know somebody who works at the White House now. I got a friend. It's not a friend of a friend. It's like, I've got a friend. And he says, yeah, that thing's locked up in terms of the way it operates now. Pretty tight. So, kind of interesting. The email goes on. I'm against females in combat arms, but the lieutenant deserves 100% respect. It's quite disappointing to read the ugly comments on social media from Marine veterans. You know what? Turn the comments off. Don't even go there. Social media is the devil's invention. Every idiot with that can work a keyboard is gonna make comments. The world was a better place without the comment section. No, the internet's okay. Being able to comment is what's the issue, right? Being able to comment is what creates all this. So Let me just go over a few headlines. Mike Etor is going to join us. Mike Etor runs a company called Fidelity Leadership, and they're putting on a seminar in St. Petersburg next week. And so he's going to join us. Mike is a Lethbridge Award winner in the Marine Corps. He's a prior enlisted Marine, got on to a very, very successful career in the Marine Corps, now does Fidelity Leadership. So we're going to have him on, talk to him about what they're doing and what's new at Fidelis Leadership, my bad. All right. Nobody lose their mind over that. So anyway, we're going to talk to Mike here in a few minutes. And then Gunner's going to join us. Tens of thousands of people rallied for the removal of the Marine base in Okinawa. So that story continues. Probably the story that's caught my eye over the weekend the most is Marine Aviation Squadron commanders inaccurately reported readiness aircraft counts according to the DODIG. Now, I don't have time to talk about it today. We will talk about it tomorrow, though, because that's not a small deal. How can we be screwing readiness reporting up? How can the numbers be wrong? What? Was this an insider attack on a Syrian outpost or a negligent discharge? CENTCOM says it can't tell. So anyway, this investigation that's gone on about a Marine that was shot intentionally by a Syrian Democratic Force guard. So that's a little bit of an interesting story. The Pentagon's going to triple their spending in the Philippines. Right? They'll spend nearly $5 million on the Marine Corps mission in the Philippines. So that's interesting. And then also the NORAD thing, what, on Friday, when a thrill seeker with aviation experience chased down a suicidal pilot near Seattle. NORAD's, and you don't see this very often, but the F-15 Charlies intercepted a suicidal pilot. So pretty interesting stuff on that mission. I guess the question is, depending on where he pointed the aircraft at, would they have shot him down? So those are some quick headlines. Top five in the early bird are, this story is pretty interesting out of Military Times. Number one, concerns build over Trump's unofficial advisors on veterans policies. So and this is from Democratic lawmakers are pushing for a full investigation into what role a small group of President Donald Trump's personal friends may have in influencing veteran affairs policy, calling it a possible violation of federal law and public safety. So I'm curious. So what do we have to do relative to I can't convene a group. If I'm the president, I can't get a group of my friends together that I want to talk to about policy. I can't do that. That sounds odd to me that I'm limited in terms of scope. All right. Now I'll tell you what. This next story is in Air Force Times, but let me just tell you. I would tell you that there is an issue brewing in the DOD that will essentially bankrupt them. Report, Michigan Air Force Base water may have caused cancer. This is an issue all over the country. Older bases in particular. The water table contaminated by chemicals for decades. And a military slow response to it. There was just, I want to say, a year ago, we had a guy named Jerry Ensminger on. He's both his wife and daughter died of cancer as a result of water ingested at Camp Lejeune. And it's horrible. It's horrible what happened to those people. And I believe that's gone on at a much greater scale around the nation than the DOD has admitted to. Number four, Navy's top officer warns of increased Russian and Chinese activity in the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah, how about that? Number five, as Trump cracks down on Pakistan, U.S. cuts military training programs with the Pakistanis. A couple stories you've seen over the weekend. This is from the Associated Press. Taliban tried to take an Afghan city, right? Did not work out. So So again, we can talk about that tomorrow. The city is Ghazni. All right. So a lot of fighting around there. And then there was one other story that I'll leave you with, and then we'll take a break. And that is this. From the Pentagon, we got quite a laugh. Pentagon bats down Mattis 2020 rumors. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis is not considering a run for president, and certainly not saying that if he ran, he'd kick Trump's ass, the Pentagon said last week. Quote, we got quite a laugh out of that in our morning meeting. It's pure fiction, plain and simple, said Pentagon Press Secretary Dana White. How about that? The Mattis 2020 rumor was published by Beltway Breakfast, an online publication that was previously focused on reporting on broadband technology. In the piece, a reporter said the ass-kicking comment came about as Mattis and other military officials discussed the possibility that the defense secretary would be asked by President Donald Trump to step aside. So they're in a meeting. All these people that he knows and you know, some he may not know well. And then in that meeting, he clicks off safe and says, when asked if he'll be asked to resign, well, if he asked me to resign, then I'd run against him in 2020 and I'd kick his ass. So that's what he said? Right. All right, we'll take a quick break. Mike Etor is going to join us on the other side. More of All Marine Radio on a Monday, coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.